This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
I have this very dear friend whose children are about the same age as mine, and we used to live in the same city, and she is and was my absolute favorite person to talk about parenting with. And so when we quit living in the same city together, we set up a regular appointment to check in with each other and keep this conversation going. So a couple of weeks ago, it was time for our check-in. And my friend told me that she had canceled her New York Times subscription. She was disappointed in their coverage of a particular issue. And also, she was beginning to wonder if her morning ritual of reading the headlines was perhaps working against her goal to, as the colic said today, so pass through things temporal that we lose not things eternal. It seemed to be pulling her into things temporal far more often than she wanted to, at least at the beginning of the day. When she first made this change, she replaced the New York Times app on her phone with the Vanity app on her phone, which is an app put out by Forward Movement that lets you pray the morning office, morning prayer, and the evening office too, but she's doing it morning prayer, with some guides from all over the Episcopal Church take turns leading it. And it's really beautiful and helpful. And so she started praying morning prayer. And the first thing she missed when she made this change was that she, like I, had been doing elder care by Wordle. Are you familiar with this concept? She, like I, had beloved elder relatives whom she texted her Wordle results to every morning, and her beloved elder ones would text back their results, and she would know that people were up and their day had started and their minds were working, and she felt better about it. And so giving up that practice meant she had to find a new way to check in with her beloved elder relatives. What she thought, though, was, I bet these folks I love wouldn't mind hearing of a piece of scripture from the daily office that made me think of them or that caught my attention today. And so she started texting that. And she was right. Her beloved elders did indeed respond and engage with her about the scripture, and together they were all talking about the Bible in the morning every day. But it took a little bit of time. My friend said at the beginning, when she first started this practice, she said, well, I will say these words with my face because that's what the church says to do. And it felt very rote and mechanical, and it didn't really mean much to her other than maybe freeing her from some news she didn't want to read first thing in the morning. But as the daily practice turned into weeks, and those weeks turned into months, she found it did start to change. That sometimes as she went about her day, some little snippet of scripture would bubble up for her too. Not just something she wanted to share with her elder ones, but something that was meaningful to her when she did encounter news that she found stressful, or when she was confused about what should come next, or just when she had a quiet moment to contemplate in her day. And more than that, she found as she went about her prayer practice, praying the daily office, sometimes there would be a little bubbling up. Maybe you should call this person. Maybe you should check in with so-and-so. And she started to welcome those, not as distractions, but maybe as promptings from the Holy Spirit. And so she kept a little notebook by her phone so that she could jot down those little bubbles and follow up with them. And in at least one occasion when she did, that friend who the Holy Spirit had prompted her to call was having a particularly bad time. And it was meant a lot to that friend to hear from our mutual friend. And my friend was able to care for her friend at just the right moment. Prayer works both ways. It does indeed turn God's heart to us, but it also turns our hearts to God. C.S. Lewis says, particularly when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are playing a bit of a game of pretend. Lewis says, when we say our Father, we might immediately notice that there was actually only one person who claimed God as Father, and that was Jesus Christ, and you and I are not him, and yet we pray our Father as we were taught to. And Lewis says, maybe when you do that, and you say our Father, and you notice that you yourself are not Jesus, you might notice something you could do that Jesus would want you to do, or that Jesus himself would do, were he sitting exactly where you are. Lewis says, go ahead and get up and do that thing. Go find a way to make sure somebody has their daily bread, if that's the thing that you're being prompted to do. Go find a way to make the kingdom come right now, if you're being reminded of something. Go forgive a debt, because you're about to say you have forgiven such debts. Go make it true. And then come back to your prayers. God will be there for you. Not only that, Lewis says, when we engage in this pretend, because of that back and forth, those promptings, those reminders that God is not yet our Father and yet he is, and that we are not Christ, but we might be more Christ-like, we start to notice the ways our prayers are being answered. And we start to learn to ask for the things that God would have us ask for. The parents at the end of Luke's gospel give their children bread and eggs. But if their children had asked for snakes and scorpions, I think those parents would still say, no, you can't have those things. And God is the same way. When we pray for the things God wills for us, we receive them. And sometimes we pray for things that God wishes us not to have, and we might not find them. The amazing thing that Lewis points out is that God is also playing this game of pretend with us. God looks at us, and when we say, our Father, God says, let's pretend this is indeed Jesus, our Son. Not a creature full of sin and wrongful desires, not someone who made that mistake yesterday, but indeed our beloved Son who follows our will perfectly. And God sees us through the love that he already has for the Son. And we are transformed day by day into that. And so in this way, our persistence isn't just about if we keep asking God for the same thing again and again, like that noisy friend in the middle part of Luke's gospel, who won't stop knocking and therefore can't be ignored, we'll get what we want. Our persistence is also about if we day by day commit ourselves to the disciplines of the church, to trying to find God's will, to bending our will closer to that, we may indeed grow into that thing which we aspire to and start asking for the things that God is so eager to give us. And that might be better than an uninterrupted Wordle streak for all of our souls. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.